Blog Talk Radio.
I ain't got nothing but three things to say about that.
Welcome, everybody. You've just tuned into the Love in the Skin You're In Blog Talk Radio Show, and I'm your host, Andrea Amador, the Juicy Woman. I'm the author of the book, Love in the Skin You're In, and I'm here to share with you how to love yourself no matter what. I spent years hating my body and feeling inadequate because I've always struggled with my weight. And like so many people, I was fooled into thinking that my whole entire life would change when I lost the weight. But let me tell you, it didn't work that way. And before I knew it, I regained all the weight back and more. So that led me on a quest to find the answers to what's really behind weight issues. And today's guest will give you so many new insights into what's really going on and why you may be feeling so completely out of control around food, insecure with your body, and miserable with your life. Did you know that April is Emotional Eating Awareness Month? It is. And by now, it's got to be no surprise to you to know that diets just do not work. It's commonplace for up to 98% of people who've lost weight dieting to find themselves in the same situation I was in, regaining all their weight back and more. Today, we're going to begin a new discussion and talk about what's really behind the many, many challenges that people face with trying to lose weight. I'd like to welcome Eric Urie, a filmmaker who first created a documentary entitled Operation Emotional Freedom, The Answer. In that film, Eric assembled a team of psychologists who specialized in energy psychology, cutting-edge scientific tools for self-healing. What he did was he worked with veterans in an effort to help them to deal with their traumatic memories and PTSD. After having such incredible success with that, Eric decided to take that concept and apply it to dealing with weight issues. He thought, okay, what can I do? He found a place. He decided to take his work to Middle America, and he was contacted by Kay Phillips, and I'm not even going to tell you anymore. I'm going to let the dream team speak for themselves. The dream team is Dr. Carol Solomon. She's a psychologist and an author who's written many books. Kay Phillips is an EFT practitioner who lives in Quincy, Illinois. And how could I forget? My favorite. You know her as the Bionic Woman, Lindsay Wagner. She is also an energy healer, and she's going to share with you her experience of what it has been like dealing with all of the challenges around body image and being out there in the public and feeling so completely on, like you have to be on all the time. Let's just approach this as just like a very calm, relaxed club-style interview where we just get to talk and let our hair down and just share with one another from our hearts. We have several people who have actually been working with the practitioners, and they're here to share their stories. They're opening their hearts to you. And this is going to be an opportunity for us all to learn from one another. I welcome you to call in. This is a live show. The number is 760-888-5736. So everybody, come on in. Welcome. Hi, Eric. How are you?
I'm well, Andrea. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you. It's a pleasure to have you all here.
Well, it's good to be with you. Thanks for the invitation.
Thank you. Thank you. So please tell me how this all started. First, if you'll introduce the practitioners and who's on the phone with us all, that would be fabulous.
Yeah. Well, the two people that I chose to work with on this project are both passionate about the subject of energy healing and energy psychology, and they both have been doing extensive work in weight and weight issues, and so they're really the engine behind the project in terms of working with volunteers, providing sessions, doing support work, and they're really my consultants and advisors and information experts on this topic. But as you touched on, I've done similar awareness projects using EFT and tapping as the protocol, and I approached Kay and Carol if they'd be interested in working with a group of volunteers on weight, because I think it's a good way to demonstrate the technique to the general public. It's an interesting way to show how emotions and feelings and past history often have a lot to do with how we feel today, how we act today, and whether or not we achieve success in the goals that we set for ourselves. So Kay Phillips is the practitioner who's helped us round up a group of volunteers in Quincy, and I know that Kay's going to join us this evening. And Dr. Carol Solomon is a specialist, really, in weight, and she's written books. She has her own CDs and audio programs and does a radio show on this topic. So I think they're both with us, and I'm sure they'd like to say hi and explain their part in this project.
That would be fabulous. Welcome, Kay. Welcome, Carol.
Thank you.
Hi, Kay.
Hi, it's wonderful to have you here. Eric had mentioned something. I'm sorry, Eric had mentioned something called tapping. Could you explain a little bit about what that is?
Well, tapping, otherwise known as EFT, Emotional Freedom Techniques, is a way to, well, it can be used in a more complex way with a practitioner, or it can be used as a self-help technique. It's been around maybe about almost 20 years now, and it's kind of gaining, there's a resurgence, I think, right now. I've been doing it for about 18 years and have seen it kind of go up and down over the years. But in the last few years, I've really seen it start to take off, and people are starting to use the self-help version of the technique of tapping on the meridian point, on the acupuncture point, on different points on the body to have an effect on their emotional state. And Carol, maybe you want to say something.
Yes, yes.
Oh, yeah. You know, it's really a very simple tapping technique that is used in terms of food and weight issues. It can be used for food cravings. We can tap on food cravings directly. But more so in this context, you know, tapping on emotions just to neutralize the emotions that are driving the food cravings. So the food cravings themselves, you know, we can deal with that, but we know that there's more to it than that. We know we want to get to the deeper levels, to what's underneath it. And so I think, especially with this project, we want to get to what's driving those food cravings and why people are having, you know, such a problem with emotional eating. You know, what happens with feelings is that you just have an inkling of a feeling and you find yourself at the refrigerator. So somewhere along the line, we've made this emotional connection to food. Food is soothing, it's comforting, we associate it with feeling better, and it's tied into the reward system of the body. So, you know, we look to it, it's an easy solution. So with this tapping, it really helps to reduce the intensity of that and sort of makes it possible to follow a plan, you know, without getting caught up in the diet mentality, without relying on willpower, and without defaulting to binging whenever there's a feeling to contend with. So it kind of restores that whole emotional balance and rejuvenates the entire body.
Now, Carol, when you mentioned follow a plan, what specifically do you have in mind? What did you mean? Are you talking about each individual person has their own preference, whether it be choosing a diet or just not eating sugar, or what would that mean?
Well, correct.
In terms of
correct,
what
you know,
like?
Somebody would make, if somebody was trying to lose weight, normally they would come up with some kind of a plan, and you know, unfortunately, that it gets sabotaged. Self sabotage is a huge problem. You know, you have every good intention to follow a plan, but for some reason, it just doesn't. It just doesn't happen. So the tapping really allows you to stop sabotaging yourself so much, so that you're able to, you know, stay on a plan that you have the intention of staying on. Sort of bridge the gap between knowing what to do and actually doing it.
Yes. What did you find when you started working with the individuals? And what are their names as well, if you'll also please introduce them?
Well, I'm not sure.
I'm not sure who's here, but...
I know Judy's here.
Judy.
Yes.
Yes, I'm here.
Yeah.
Hi, Judy.
Hi, okay, why don't you introduce Judy, Kay?
Mm-hmm. Judy's been part of the tapping group for a while now, for the last year or two, and volunteered for this weight loss project. She and we have 9 others, and some of them are listening maybe tonight, and Judy has consented to give us some of her insights and some of her challenges and all that stuff. So if Judy's been great, she's a great tapper, and she's very devoted to this project and seeing it work and sharing that with other people. So I'm glad you could tune in, Judy.
Thank you.
Judy, welcome.
I'm glad to be here.
I'd love to know a little bit more about your story, how you decided to come to tapping, because one of Eric's interests was to come to a place in Middle America where there was a very traditional mindset, and tapping, I would think, would be so far out of that zone. How did you become so open to that?
Well, I've had a lot of therapy at different times. I lived in California for a while, so I'm not a total Midwesterner, but I've tried several different diets since South Beach, Atkins, Eat Right for Your Type, and none of them ever worked. And I am friends with Kay's sister, Connie, and she started me tapping, and I noticed how effective it was on other things. And then I heard about Kay having a weight loss class using tapping, and I thought, well, this might just be the thing to do. And as I took the class, it was a month-long class, I realized that there's more to it than just losing weight, that you really have to deal with the emotions, like Carol was saying, and I'm still dealing with that. I haven't lost a lot of weight in this whole process, but I have increased my self-esteem and learned a lot of things about myself that I still need to work on. And I trust that weight is going to not be an issue whether I'm heavy or thin. So I've really gotten a lot out of it.
That's fabulous. What are some of the
Andrea,
if I can jump in, Eric.
And also,
Lindsay, I haven't welcomed her as well.
Yeah, I'm not sure she's going to make it on the call, but if she does join us, I'm sure she'll identify herself. One of the reasons why I thought it would be useful for your listeners to meet Judy and hear at least some of her story is that we started this project in November, and we started filming an intensive group of sessions with the volunteers, and then again in January. Almost from the beginning, in meeting Judy and in recording the sessions that Carol and Kate did with her and her participation in groups, I noticed a pretty significant shift in someone who didn't have a good handle on the whys behind not only weight or weight management or self-image, but a lot of other things in terms of her confidence and her comfort in the world around her. And the reason for this project, from my perspective, is to try and show audiences new to this concept of emotions and energy behind the topic of weight is, I think, embodied in Judy. Where she's come in the last few months, I think, is remarkable in terms of growth and her life experience changing to the point where, as she just said, weight loss and weight management is going to be a consequence of what she's learned and what she's learning and going through now. But the diet and weight loss industry is focused on pounds and the weigh scale and dress sizes. And if that were the only route to happiness, there wouldn't be any miserable thin people or average weight people. And that's just not the case. So this $65 billion a year industry in North America alone puts out messages, products, services that the public obviously wants because they're spending huge amounts of money and investing a lot of time and effort into those products and services, and frankly, they're not successful. The curiosity in me says, why aren't they successful? And Carol and I have done a lot of discussion about this. She's written about it and talked about it, and I love a lot of her sentiments around the deviousness, the persistence, the marathon nature of trying to gain control over weight and self-image over the course of a lifetime. It's not easy, and it's not something that even a technique that's been proven as powerful as EFT is able to handle in a quick number of sessions. This is something that's lifestyle changing. And the reason that Judy's here tonight is, I think, to demonstrate that when you get your act together emotionally, when you start living the kind of life and having the kinds of emotional reactions and experiences that are healthy ones, everything else will change in its own time. I think Judy's a fantastic person, and I think she's having a much better time of it lately because of what she's learning about herself and what she's undoing about past feelings and reactions to the world. And weight will become something that she fits into that new lifestyle and becomes a healthy part of her life, not an obsession, not another distraction, not something that's risk or reward, but just a natural part of being a healthy person.
Yes. Well, my experience is that as a sexual abuse survivor, I've learned that the weight is very much tied up with the whole concept of feeling safe in my life. So I wanted to get an idea of some of the specifics that Judy has actually seen that have reinforced that sense of feeling good about herself and a higher level of confidence.
Yeah, I agree with all. I was shaking my head yes the whole time Eric was talking. And Andrea, what you're saying, I am a sexual abuse survivor, and I've had PTSD, and I've been I was raped, and all of those things just kind of soak into your system. Your whole body system, and you react without knowing it, and to have tapping as a tool to lower the intensity of some of those feelings and work through them has just been amazing. And like Eric says, it probably will just take its time to get there, but I'm healing so much in so many other places that it's phenomenal. And
it
I hope
really
someday
good.
I hope someday to even get off depression medicine and stuff like that. So maybe that will help me lose weight too.
Oh, that's wonderful. But what is like something concrete that our listeners could really relate to, because many times people are so they're hoodwinked by thinking it really is all about calories and weight and food in, food out. It's not that. We know that, but what I'm asking you for is if you could give an idea of what it looks like when you start seeing your life from a different paradigm. What are you getting from the EFT using that in your life, and how is it changing you as Judy, and how are you navigating your life differently because of it?
Wow. That's kind of hard. I've gotten in a relationship since I've started this, which I've been terribly afraid of men, and I'm going back with someone who I have been with before. Which is a backwards kind of thing. I have found myself not finishing food that doesn't appeal to me. Whereas before I would just eat and eat and eat unconsciously.
How are you doing with those vegetables, Judy?
Thank you. I knew somebody would think of something.
I was just waiting for you to come out with it. So if you aren't, I'm going to.
So Carol.
Thanks, Carol.
So what you're saying is that it's easier now for Judy to start developing behaviors that are more in line with being healthier and taking care.
Yes. And what Carol's saying about vegetables, I had even forgotten that there was a frozen food aisle in the grocery store. And someone said, I said I needed to eat more vegetables, but I didn't really like vegetables. I didn't like to prepare them and all. And they said, well, why don't you just get frozen vegetables? And I said, I don't remember where that aisle is. So now I go down the vegetable aisle and the produce aisle and the frozen food aisle, and I pick up vegetables all the time now. I can't say that they're part of every meal, but they're part of many meals. And I just feel like that's healthier for me whether I lose weight or not.
I'm
looking at bread and gluten issues and cutting back on that, and I feel that is healthier for me whether I lose weight or not. And I haven't lost very much weight, if any, but I just feel healthier, and I feel connected to people and I feel like I'm participating in life, whereas I wasn't too much before.
Wow, that's very exciting. And how is it a factor of having the network of support of Kay and Carol and, you know, everyone else involved in the project?
It's great. It's great. Having other people who you know are dealing with the same things. We have a online blog that we can write in, and people comment on the things that we're writing, and we can call. We have each other's emails and phone numbers. We can call or email for various support issues, and we have met several times other than when we're filming, and we all just connect. We whether it's an issue that we have dealt with or not, when somebody mentions it, it rings true with the rest of us. You know what I'm saying?
I do. It's a sense of being supported and understood. It's taking the best of what the diet organizations offer, but they offer it with strings attached as well. So speaking about that, I was talking with Eric earlier, and I was asking him that since you're not using the traditional measures of progress, the scale and tape measure and all that stuff, what is your new bar of progress? How are you determining, wow, look how far I've come?
Well, for me, it will be being able to go shopping for clothes, whether I've lost weight or not. It's one of the things that I hate to do more than anything, and I think that I've had several volunteers to help me go, but I haven't taken anybody up on it yet. But I think when I do that, I will have come a long ways because I dread it.
Bunch of clothes out there.
Sorry? Huh? So is that Kay?
It's Kay. It's spring.
Hi, Kay.
There's a lot of people out there. We might need to go shopping soon.
Kay, I just want to share from personal experience. I spent some time working in Plus Women's retail. Mm-hmm. And the women who work in those stores, many of them are so deeply passionate about reaching out and going the extra mile for the customers because they really get what it's like to struggle with weight.
Yes.
So there's a whole new network of support that you have not yet explored that is there for you.
Good to do some tapping on. Yeah, absolutely. I tap every time I look at a catalog. I like looking at catalogs, but I just I get so disappointed and distressed when I look at large women's catalogs because the clothes don't feel like they're me and don't feel right on me, and I don't like buying clothes necessarily out of a catalog, but I won't go to a store to do it. It's just too much.
Yeah, definitely. A trip to the store is going to open and expand your thinking so much. And that leads me to my next question, that what I found personally is that when I made the decision to stop dieting, not only did I change the way I saw food, but it really was across the board, the changes that occurred in my life. I envisioned possibilities that I had never seen before. And instead of being a very black and white thinker, I tend now to use a much greater scale to be able to see things that didn't even seem like possibilities. So I want to ask you, when you started the EFT and the tapping, how did that affect the other areas of your life?
For me, it affected every area of my life. Yeah, it's.
I think that's really the key, Andrea, is that this is a whole life approach, and what starts to happen may very well be anything other than weight, but kind of in an order of importance. And as Judy's been relating, I think feeling better about herself, being a little bit more engaged in the outside world, understanding that there is life out there that you can participate in, and do it safely, do it with enjoyment, do it with a support system that she's learning to self-direct, is an incredible thing. So when you say, you know, what's the bar for her, I think she's pressing against that bar on a daily basis in ways that some of us may not understand. But for people like Judy, she's changed 180 degrees already in her outlook. And I think for a technique like this to be able to accomplish something without drugs, without a lot of professional support and intervention on a day-to-day basis. I mean, we did 4 to 6 sessions with these individuals over the course of 2 different blocks of time. But they've been learning to do this on their own and supporting each other. And I think that's a phenomenal success rate in comparison to anything else. And what Judy's demonstrating is that she's becoming a richer person, not just somebody who has a better understanding of her connection to food.
Yes, that's very exciting. Kay, would you
Yes. I might add that the rest of the group is also having similar experiences in rebalancing their life. Many of them are losing weight, some aren't, some are, but all of them, 100% of the group, is having a positive, they're having this positive outlook on life that they've never had before. And to me, that's amazing to watch this, you know, in a group where I can say 100% of the group.
That's amazing.
You know, it's
Kay, is everybody tapping at the same time?
Yes. Oh, well, sometimes we tap together in group. We have support group. And then a lot of times they're tapping on their own, you know, and then I'm talking to them. They talk to Carol. They talk to me. I'm in Quincy here with them. But Carol also does support online on Skype or on the phone with them up in Chicago. She's in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we do see each other. We do. There is support here. Some of them have done private sessions. When they run into some roadblocks, they can't quite you know, get their mind around by themselves. They'll come in and do a private session, and then they go on down the road by themselves. You know, they go on and work on something at home. Some of them are tapping 1 or 2 hours a day. Like, they tap for an hour in the morning, and they tap for an hour at night. And their lives are being transformed because of it.
Wow.
And
wow.
Weight loss just seems to be secondary in all of their minds at this point. Because what else, what is happening is so much bigger than what size clothes they are buying.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. Thank you, Kay. I just want to remind our callers that this is a live call-in show, and the number to ask any question is 760-888-5736.
I think we may have someone that's from the group that's trying to call in.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. Is Lindsay here? Let's see.
Unmuted.
Hello?
Hello?
Hi, who's this?
Who's this?
I don't hear you. Who's this?
Who's this?
Oh, we have a poor connection. Would you mind trying to call in again? Okay. Does anybody have any questions? Okay, so Eric, I wanted to find out from you. You were mentioning that this, I'm so sorry, I blanked on the name of the the project. It's food, feeding the hungry heart.
Oh, feed your hungry heart.
Heart.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
Feed your
would
hungry
you
heart.
Feed your hungry heart. Thank
feed
you
your
so
hungry
much.
Heart. Yeah.
Yes, that is part of a larger project, which is called Tapping Town. Would you like to talk more about that?
Yeah, well, it fits into the same model of looking at everyday individual lives and peeking behind the curtain. I mean, we all get ourselves into situations, physically, emotionally, spiritually, some of us, where in spite of our best intentions or demonstrating the best in willpower that we can summon up, we're not doing the things that we want to do. We're not getting the results that we want. And energy psychology is ideally suited to do that behind the curtain kind of exploration, either with a practitioner like Kay or Carol, and or once you learn the technique and understand some of this work, to do it on yourself in a way that helps you peel back the layers and start to understand, in the same way that our weight control subjects are really starting to understand their emotional connection to food. I was looking to see what would it be like if we examined a cross-section of interest groups and individuals and saw whether or not it was possible to affect the same kinds of changes as we've witnessed with combat veterans and in the case of weight control, people who are on a diet journey. And so one of the things that drew Kay and I together is her connection in Quincy and the work that she's doing there. Quincy is a relatively small town, but it's still a traditional town in the sense that they rely on traditional services, healthcare, counseling, support. And Kay's been able, quite remarkably, to penetrate all of that and increasingly win people over to this idea of learning a technique which they can apply on their own and do some investigation, do some recovery work on their own. And I thought, this is another great way to demonstrate this technique to outsiders who would be new to alternative, new to energy work, new to this kind of untraditional therapy work. And so Tapping Town is a model project, and some of what we're doing with the subjects like Judy and the others in our weight control group, that material I think will become a part of this bigger project. But what I'm ultimately hoping to do is really follow Kay and follow her experiences in literally teaching her hometown to tap, which is maybe a bit of an exaggeration, but I think her success rate so far and the respect that she's gotten, the amount of support and interest that she's gotten from again, everyday citizens. These are not people who are alternative or new age or slick cosmopolitan people. These are everyday people in a small town who are dealing with economic hardships, unemployment, health, family issues, and returning veterans, the whole gamut. And Kay's been able to penetrate into pockets of those different groups. And what I'm looking forward to doing is, as we've done with the weight control volunteers, be invited into those communities as Kay and other practitioners work with them and teach them technique and allow them this, again, emotional freedom from situations where I think a lot of us feel caught or trapped or in impossible places without the use of drugs and heavy medications to try and get us out of these problems. I think what Kay's been able to demonstrate to a lot of people in Quincy, similar to what Carol's demonstrating to people who are working with her weight control materials, is that relief is there, and it's safe, it's controlled, it has a large following, and this is something that you can learn and that you can practice. And I'm hoping to bring cameras into more places in Quincy and start to follow this work in schools and in VA centers and in a variety of different places where people are learning to use this and help themselves.
That's amazing. First, let me just say that if anybody is on the line, all you have to do to jump into the discussion is to press number one. Eric, what are some of the suggestions or the ideas that you'd like to share with people who are listening as to what they can do in terms of getting out of that rut of constantly feeling badly about themselves and blaming themselves and calling themselves failures and all of this very disheartening and disenfranchising self-talk? What would you recommend?
Well, I recommend that they investigate a technique like we're talking about. I think from my own perspective, as nice as it would be to believe that this is purely a self-help technique, my experience in filming this all over the world now suggests that you really do need a skilled and a trained practitioner to guide you and coach you and support you through the process of understanding where you do need to go to unravel this web that we create for ourselves of mixed emotions and feelings. But I think for anyone who explores this on their own, and there's a wealth of information online under the terms tapping or emotional freedom technique, EFT, you can see a lot of demonstrations, you can read a lot of testimonials, you can see a lot of videos. I wouldn't rank all of it as the highest quality information. If you really want to find out, how to use a technique like this, connect with someone like Carol Solomon, connect with someone like Kay Phillips. They offer their services professionally on a regular basis. Understand it and then start to explore how this unraveling process, this self-investigation, if you will, really does lead to a kind of freedom that is quite remarkable and in our society isn't something that's generally talked about or acknowledged within a healing dialogue. This is not something that other people do to you or for you. This is something that you need to do in partnership with a practitioner and then ultimately on your own as part of a lifestyle.
I agree with that.
Yeah, and I can
well
speak
said.
To that. Andrea, my name is Kat, if you can
Hi,
hear
Kat.
Me now. Hi. Eric and Kay and Carol and Judy, they all know me. I was going to do the weight balance thing, but I have had a severe health issue that cropped up that I've been dealing with for a few years, and during my journey I had to kind of drop back from doing the weight balance because I had to have another surgery. So the complications from the past 3 or so years and the weight that I've gained, I was looking forward to, you know, working with losing the weight and you know, I was really, really interested in the technique because I love EFT, have done EFT for quite a long time. But when this health issue, you know, cropped up, that was when it became invaluable to have someone like Kay. I'm trained to level two of EFT, but to have Kay working with me, she was wise counsel. She said, you know, this is something more than just this issue or that issue that you're dealing with. I think really that you've got to get this, you know, checked into further. I think it still has something to do with this medical issue that you're dealing with. And so, you know, I did investigate into that. I did have to have another surgery recently, and I'm still, you know, in the throes of dealing with all of that. But I'm tapping for myself, and I'm also tapping along with Kay to deal with issues surrounding that. And then once I get everything surrounding that result, then I can begin to work on those weight issues again.
Are you finding
there does need
that,
to be.
I'm sorry. Kat, did you say Kat?
Kat,
did you say that you're finding that, I'm sorry, are you finding that working with the tapping that is also affecting having physical change and affecting your health issues as well for the benefit?
It can. Oh, absolutely. When I, what my health issue is I've got a brain aneurysm. And when I first was diagnosed with it, I didn't know that I had it. Previous to being diagnosed, I was working with the EFT to bring the migraine pain down and was working with a practitioner, and we were tapping away, and we got the pain down to the size of a walnut, and we couldn't get it any smaller.
Right.
And I was just perplexed. I was like, why am I dealing with this? But it was mind-blowing pain. It was so severe. And I couldn't understand why with the EFT, because I know how powerful it is, why we couldn't get it smaller or make it, you know, go completely away. And then subsequently, maybe a month later, is when I was diagnosed with the aneurysm, a quite large aneurysm, about the size of a walnut. So, you know, that it kind of clicked for me, and I went, oh, that makes sense. That
I think, Kat, that you could say that you're using EFT at this point to regain your balance about being chronically ill and being severely ill for several years now. And there's a lot
Absolutely.
Of fallout behind that that has to precede weight loss. You know, the EFT can go in and help rebalance that of a traumatic impact so that you can now go on and think about, you know, other aspects of how can I get healthy again? How can I regain my health? And EFT
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, mm-hmm. Because I've missed out on so much of my life the past 3 years of being in chronic pain from this, from four different surgeries.
And there's
on
a lot of big emotions about that. Yeah, a lot of big emotions around that.
Yes.
I think you can see how EFT can work wherever it lands, you know, in your life.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, thank you.
A part of our story in this, Andrea, as well, is that this is a compliment, and we're not looking to suggest to people that a meal plan, an exercise program, other diet or weight management or health-related protocols and practices aren't valuable and aren't necessary. Mm-hmm. What I'd like people to understand is that in particular, if you're not having success with the ones that you're using, this is an incredible complement. It's an incredible aid to making more of what you've got and what you're working with. Because, again, it's supporting you emotionally through this process, which is anxiety-producing in and of itself. And I think what Kat's referring to in terms of having to deal with a major health issue, using EFT and tapping, is an excellent example of how, again, this is lifestyle stuff. The same technique that we're using to talk about food cravings and cutting back on desserts is something that she can use for pain management, for depression, anxiety, fear, relationships with her kids. All of the emotional aspects of her physical situation are being supported and better dealt with emotionally because she understands tapping, and she can use that same tool that we're talking about in a weight control situation for something as profound as a brain tumor. That's the complementary nature of this technique, and that's why I think it's so valuable and people need to understand it. We don't want to replace anything, but I think we certainly can offer a great complement to whatever else other people are using.
That's amazing. Thank you. Thank you so much, Eric. Carol, Eric had mentioned that you had done extensive research in terms of why we tend to self-sabotage and why we get ourselves into a place that doesn't serve us. Could you share more about what you've learned about that?
Well, I think, you know, weight loss is an insidious problem. I mean, you can be doing everything right and still not see a change on the scale. So that really leads to feeling discouraged, you know, and hopeless and frustrated. And it's demoralizing, really. So it's easy, you know, it's very easy to sabotage. And, it's very easy to become overweight. It's just not easy to be overweight. It's just when you think about, you know, the result that people want is not always just the numbers on the scale, although we tend to judge ourselves by the numbers on the scale. You know, but people want to feel peaceful. People want to feel relaxed around food and more freer and more in control, just more able to handle, you know, stressful situations. It's not about being perfect all the time because we all get triggered. You know, it's just about being able to get back on track without, you know, letting yourself go all the way down the hill and sabotage yourself over and over again. And some people, you know, Judy referred to it, you have to feel safe. You know, losing weight has to feel possible. Getting that result, no matter what result it is, it has to feel possible. You have to feel... It has to feel like you deserve it. If you don't feel like you deserve to be thin and have the result you want, you know, and it has to feel safe. If losing weight doesn't feel safe, a lot of people will get to a certain point, or they'll get to their goal, and then it doesn't feel safe. It doesn't feel comfortable, and that's the whole protection theme. That, you know, the weight, somehow it feels like the weight is protecting them. So they start putting it back on, you know. And Judy's one who's had to work through a lot of stressful situations. You know, life is hard and food is easy. You know, the stress isn't going away. You know, so we have to work on the other end of the equation. We have to be able to work on ourselves and being able to manage stress. Most people don't have a food problem. They have a problem dealing with feelings and anxiety in their lives without the aid of food.
Is there a connection between stress and feelings? And what is that? What's the science behind that?
Well, stress is generally a result of how we think. And, you know, feelings are the language of the body. So, you know, we feel when something happens, when a stressor happens, and it can just be a thought that creates stress in our mind. It's sort of a mind-body response. And the body part is the feeling part, the emotions. And people have to, but a lot of emotions go unnoticed. You know, you're not even aware of them. What happens with feelings? You know, you just find yourself at the food because food can be temporarily comforting. So one thing of, you know, this project and tapping in general just kind of gives you that more awareness. And awareness is infinitely more powerful than willpower. You know, just realizing why you're doing something, having a new idea, being able to think about it differently, being creative and feeling free to be yourself. You know, it's kind of... It erases the need for forcing yourself to do something. And you're just going to feel better, and you're going to think differently. You're going to feel better, and when you feel better, you do better. And then things are better
and
in every
what,
area.
What's the nature of willpower? Because so many so many people swear by the belief that if they could only just, you know, push themselves away from the table or say, that's it, I'm going running today, and they're not able to, and they call themselves a failure. So what is that willpower, and how important is it, or where does it fit in the equation?
You know, it's a great question, Andrea, and, you know, willpower is just another way of forcing yourself to do something. And most people don't like to feel forced, you know, to have our freedom taken away. And we think of willpower as some extraordinary force that we have too little of. And you know, if we don't have enough, we feel weak. You know, but what the research has found is that willpower is like a muscle. It becomes fatigued from overuse. You know, and most people know what to do. It's the doing it. It's bridging that gap between knowing what to do and actually, you know, taking the action and doing it consistently. So willpower is really not what you need, and it won't sustain you.
One of the things that I found personally as well as with my clients is that there's a tendency often when you're facing resistance to just say, oh, I forgot to tap. What's going on there? What's that about? It seems so innocent, but there's really something behind it. It's this fear to change.
Well, there could be a lot of things behind it. There could be the fear of change. You know, with food, some people don't want to give up the food. They want their food fix. They really, you know, they don't want to, you know, something to take, you know, take that food away or not be able to have. You know, they're afraid they won't be, the real fear is being afraid of not being able to handle it, you know, if they don't have the food. So not being able to handle the stress, not being able to handle, you know, whatever comes up, whatever, you know, stress is happening right then, whatever is sort of throwing them off balance. So, you know, no matter what it is, it's some version of fear that's underneath that. And, you know, this whole food thing, this whole diet thing can be such a huge, it's just one big distraction. And we can get so much into the drama of all of it, you know, what we should eat, what we shouldn't eat, such an obsession. And, you know, there has to be better things to think about than what we shouldn't eat and what we should eat and what we're going to eat after we get off the diet.
It's so true, yeah.
And willpower is an interesting concept, but the question sometimes is, whose willpower is it that we're actually talking about? And
wow.
We live in a society, particularly in North America, where body image is a big deal, and we're all supposed to look like models and athletes and movie stars and wear these attractive bodies. Well, for health reasons, there's a lot of good sentiment behind that, but everybody's body type inherently isn't lean and model like, and not everyone essentially is wired that way either. And so willpower, when it's not really your will or your own truth, starts to become as Carol's saying, maybe the motivation for feeling unsafe or not wanting to trust the information that says you've got to cut back on this or you shouldn't be having this at all. Before we run out of time, we did a little experiment, and I'd love Kay to tell you about it. It goes to willpower. It goes to this notion that everybody should want to lose weight and be thin and attractive, and if we could wave a magic wand, wouldn't we all want to instantly be able to just drop the excess pounds, be in the clothing sizes that we wanted to wear, and look perfect? Well, Kay came up with a brilliant little test or a little idea for us to try out, and we did it on camera. We tried it with a few of the different volunteers. It uses this this easy button, and Kay, if you wouldn't mind just explaining what we did with some of the people in terms of offering this opportunity, that if they wanted to, would they push the button and become the dress size and the body image that they wanted simply by pressing a button?
Wow.
Yeah, it showed us. We kind of fell into that accidentally during sessions on camera, and I actually went to Staples and got that easy button, you know, that they have them at the store, and you just push on it and it beeps.
Yes.
That's a silly prop, but I went and got it, and so in the next few sessions on camera, I just asked each one of them, or a few of them, If you could be the size you want to be, whatever that is, or look the way you want to look right now, and all you should do is push this button, and you will instantly be that size, would you do it?
Oh,
and so it gave us some great tappable issues when most of them recoiled physically from pushing
yes.
the button.
That's exactly the response I had.
It was like, oh, no, no, no. So it really led us into some more awareness about, oh, this isn't about calorie counting. This isn't about – it was a great little just an exercise that we just kind of made up. But it was really interesting, and I guess everyone could ask themselves that. If you had an easy button in front of you and you could push it and be whatever size you wanted to be right now without doing anything, would you push it? And all of us think we would, but that's not what we found. So – he gave us some great stuff to tap on.
Wow.
We did.
Thank you.
Well, and the truth is, I mean, most people would not push the button, you know, for various reasons.
Yeah.
Mostly because it just doesn't feel safe. So it's a certain type of resistance that, you know, we call outcome resistance. And outcome resistance is just that, you know, if you have that magic button, would you push it? You know, and a lot of people, surprisingly enough, would not. So it's a great exercise.
It really is. It's a great exercise. And I'm going to extend it out to my callers. If anyone is on the line and they want to press number one to call, to ask answer the question, or the guest call in 760-888-5736. We have just about 3 more minutes. What are some of the really great takeaways that you I'm going to address this to Judy and Kat there was another volunteer. There was Judy and Kat, but anyone, what are some of the great takeaways that you've gotten from this project so far?
This is Judy. For me, I think the greatest thing is that I have a tool that I can use on a daily basis for anything. It's not just for weight loss. It's not just a diet to lose weight, and it's not just to help me lose weight, but I can focus on any kind of issue that's coming up for me, whether it's being nervous about a meeting or overworked or my boyfriend coming to town or whatever, I can use the tapping to reduce my emotional charge to it. And so it's a lifetime tool, basically. It will fill out my whole life.
Thank you. Thank you, Judy. And Kat, what have you found?
Well, and for me, you know, having to put aside, you know, wanting to do the weight balance because of the health issue cropping up again, you know, it tells me there are times when you do have to, you know, like as Eric said, it's a good adjunct to traditional medicine or, you know, traditional therapies. There are times and places where those are necessary. And the EFT is definitely something that you can add in there. You know, it's a great supplement to getting healthy and to, you know, for me, I look at it as a way to quite possibly getting off the pain medicine
that
I've been on for 3 years. So, it offers me a great hope.
Thank you so much, Kat. And we have just about 60 seconds left, and I would love to have the opportunity to share more and to have you come back on the call another time, to come back on the show. You have been amazing. Please share with everybody your website so that they could contact you. Eric, we have less than a minute.
Well, the best thing to do is check us out on Facebook, Feed Your Hungry Heart. We've got a pretty lively but tiny discussion group at the moment. So join in, ask some questions. I know people like Judy are there frequently and are willing to share their story, and they'll probably offer you some advice or perspectives on things that you may bring up as well. So feed your hungry heart on Facebook.
Okay. It has been my pleasure.
And coming soon will be some of this film work. So we'll have something to look at down the road in terms of everyone's story on video.
Excellent. I look forward to it. Everybody have a wonderful evening. Thank you so much.
Take care of you.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.